Now, I'm in Lille at the Opera, and well, I've never been here before, and there's lots of fascinating things happen today, and I've stumbled upon something in a gallery upstairs, which is a type of sound experiment that may have been inspired by John Cage. I don't know a lot about it, but here in the exhibition, I've bumped into Turn de Longa,
yes.
And he's going to explain a little bit about it. So, we're looking at a screen that's got lots of visual representation of something. Would you explain a little bit?
Visual representation is as close as possible to what Cage did in his aria notation. John Cage made many, many different types of musical notation, but this one is really intuitive and open for everybody. It's not for nothing called for any voice in any range, so everybody can sing with this thing
from soprano right down to bass.
So yes. and when we made a little program, it's a big program on the audio part. It's making automatic samples, and which reproduces these samples in harmonic ways. In this case, we have a bass voice, a soprano voice, and a medium voice, which is more or less the voice of the people who are singing.
Now, I noticed there's a microphone in front of the screen, and there's some children singing into the microphone now. So does it analyze their...
Yes, it's Fourier, who's doing the job, very old guy,
right.
18th century mathematician, but it's still a
very,
very central,
relevant,
very relevant piece of mathematical treatment. In this case, we separate tonal and atonal information in a very powerful and
right, mathematical kind of way, yes.
Way. And that means that you have a possibility to actually distinguish between percussion-like notes and tonal information.
Okay.
And we use it not only in this experiment, but also in this project, but also in things on stage where I play the clarinet or someone is singing.
Okay.
In that case, you have another user interface, which is also visible when you go to the website.
I've seen this kind of thing in nature sometimes. If you're out in the countryside and you whistle or you play, sometimes the birds, they mimic and they repeat back to you.
In an open-air museum in Flanders, I have in a tree there hang three loudspeakers, and that's doing exactly that.
Okay.
But it was a pentatonic harmonics, and people walk there and say something and then they sing along with what they're doing.
So it's looking for certain patterns, and when it recognizes these patterns, it responds in a certain way.
Yeah. Okay. And but the most important thing is that it finds a certain note and distinguish which note it is.
Okay.
So I can also distinguish in which scale this note should be. There are a lot of scales in it. And one of the striking things is that when you use a pentatonic scale, like in blues and in many... world
other
music,
genres,
you have a very distinct way of a very distinct sound. But what's very nice with this sound is that it's always harmonic. Nobody can play a false note as long as you know the scale and you keep that.
So the computer kind of takes the input and then tries to make it into something harmonic.
It works exactly the same way, like for instance, Indian songs allow everybody to join in. They decide among themselves what scale they will sing in, and after that there is no score necessary.
So it's fully inclusive, really. Anybody can take part.
It's a marvelous effect.
And if people want to find out more about this, there's a website that they can visit, which is www.jazzperiments.com. It's like a hybrid of the word jazz and experiments together.
And that's, of course, it's in on stage we do more or less jazz things, is it? So that's the idea.
Okay.
But you see that kids are really...
They're interacting with it.
Yeah,
okay. Turn de Longa, thank you very much.
Thank you.